Morning. I'm Janie. I'll be sharing the EMP today. I'll read Psalm 139 today. Before that, maybe we can pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, that we can come before you to just spend this hour in prayer and worshiping you, Lord. We invite your presence to come. Just fill our hearts with an openness to receive whatever you have in store for us this morning, Lord, to prepare our heart for the day, Lord. And we just want to dedicate this time to you. Pray, Lord God, that you would also use me to just share your heart also and to speak your truth through your word. So thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'll read Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Psalm 139 is a chapter of the Bible that gives us a great insight into who God is and how we are to walk with Him. The psalm opens by saying God knows everything, that God is everywhere. We can't run from His presence or His spirit. It then acknowledges that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God who created our inmost being. God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, and God is our creator who knows everything about us, our every thought. The psalmist here, David, goes on to say that he is in awe of God and that he hates evil things that God detests. Then we come to the last two verses where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I wanted to focus on these last two verses, the verses 23 and 24 today. Search me, God, and know my heart. So David already says in verse 1 that God has searched him and knows him. It says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. So why does David ask again for God to search him and know his heart? I think this is where David is a great example of someone who demonstrated how he walked with God. I think by praying this, it was an invitation by David to God to know what was in God's heart, how God saw him, and what God thought of him. He didn't want there to be anything about himself that God knew that he didn't know. He didn't want to be unaware of things that may separate him from God and his presence. He's saying, I want God to bring to my attention things I may not know about myself, because I know that God knows me better than I know myself, and he knows what's in my heart better than myself. I may not be aware of what's in my heart fully, but God is. Oftentimes as Christians, and hopefully maybe most of the time, we try to keep our hearts in check, and we want to do the right things and be a good person. But we also recognize that there is a part of us that is prone to rationalizing the way we feel or act, making excuses for ourselves, and convincing ourselves to think we're justified in the way we feel. So for me, I work in an investment bank, so unsurprisingly, there are some difficult personalities that I encounter at workplace. There are some days at work that I feel angry towards certain aggressive coworkers who are unreasonable and maybe don't talk to me nicely. And I justify to myself that if I don't respond strongly back to them, then they'll just walk all over me. I don't need to waste my patience on them. They just want to get their way, and they're not interested in relationship anyway. And I feel justified in the way I talk to them curtly back, and I feel completely justified to feel distrustful and annoyed and not want to build any relationship with them. In human ways, what I and how I think may be completely justified, we're very capable of giving ourselves a reason to fully walk in our flesh. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" If I for 1 minute thought that I'm good, the Bible is full of verses that says no one is good. Jesus says in Mark 10:18, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Romans 3:10 says, "None is righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Ephesians 7:20 says, "Surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." Even in the moment that I feel that I can make a perfect justification in my heart or in my mind, I'm reminded that I need to be open to the possibility that my feelings and thoughts may be displeasing to God. God may reveal things that I don't want to face or confront, or may even be aware of. It may make me feel uncomfortable to have to face them, but even if I don't want to face it, God knows it anyway. It then says, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." When do we feel anxious? Feeling anxious is the opposite of feeling at peace. We usually feel anxious when something doesn't feel right. It could be because of the small voice in us that kind of tells you, hey, maybe you're not in the right place. Maybe you've done all the right things, but you're not feeling, you're at unease because you know that you did it for the wrong reasons. Or maybe I'm not ready to face my own sins and imperfections. And maybe I don't want to go deeper into digging into my own feelings and fears and thoughts and really recognize what the real issue is. So in my case, maybe the reason that I feel so angry towards some of the aggressive coworkers is because deep down, I'm upset that I don't feel respected when I actually want to be. Maybe that reveals my own insecurity that I want people's recognition. Why do I want their recognition? Because I want to be successful. Well, why do I want to be successful? Because if I'm perfectly honest, that's where I get my value from. That's even though I say, you know, I know my identity in God and his love for me is sufficient, it actually isn't. But it's not easy to admit that, it makes me feel shallow and ungodly. It's easier to say I'm angry at these people. These people are bad human beings. They don't deserve my respect. I'm justified in the way I feel. But knowing that deep down, that's not the root issue, and that's not how God wants me to respond, I don't feel at peace. I feel anxious. I think this verse, "Know my anxious thought," is really David saying he's an open book. And it's a declaration that his heart towards God is open. Maybe I want to trust God with everything, but perhaps I can't. Maybe I want to be right with him, but I'm not sure if I am. Or maybe I simply need the assurance that I am in the right place. I want to be seen and known by God, and that I trust him. So it's a declaration, but also it's a cry for help. And then verse 24, David goes on to say, "See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What would be offensive to God? Sin. Again, in my case, I know it's not pleasing to God for me to keep thinking negatively of my coworkers and harbor anger towards them. I also know that wanting recognition and seeking value from success comes from pride. When the conviction from the Holy Spirit comes, I know I need to draw on his strength to love on the coworkers even when I don't want to, and to trust God when he reaffirms and reassures that he loves me and that I don't need to seek approval from men. It's not easy, and it's definitely not automatic, and it doesn't always feel natural either. I'll try to be more patient, you know, to the coworkers, maybe give them the benefit of the doubt, and speak nicer to them. And sometimes maybe they respond back nicer, but most of the time they don't change just because what I decided. So it's not to say that I don't fall back on my old way of feeling, but I need to keep taking it to God, repenting for my anger and lack of love for the person. I also need to remind myself that my worth does not come from how this person treats me. However hard it is, I still need to deal with God, what is in my heart. And even if my outward appearance and how I act may have changed, if my heart hasn't changed, that is something that I need to discuss and take to God. If we're sincere in asking God to help us, to walk with us, he will speak to us. He will bring revelation to our sins or heart condition that we're not aware of. He'll bring to our attention what about our thoughts and our life are not in alignment with him. And when that revelation comes, we need to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness in the posture of humility, because God is coming and speaking to us and meeting with us. And my experience has been that when I find myself in that place, God is almost always, in revealing my own weaknesses and imperfections, very gentle. Because if I desire to be right with him and I ask for his help, my heart is actually in alignment with his heart and what he wants. Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." God's desire is that we walk in intimacy with him. So we invite God to search us and test us, so that there's nothing in us that would prevent us from walking in intimacy with him. You know, as the Bible said clearly that, you know, none of us are perfect, and we know it very well ourselves. But we are also have given this impossible task. On Matthew 5:48, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." 1 Peter 1:15 says, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" That's just impossible. God gives us an impossible task. But he's asking us this because he's asking us to walk with him. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he promises to walk with us so that we can abide in him and we can walk in full unity with him. And it's not to say it's going to be easy or that we're going to be in that state all the time, but we need to be mindful and intentional and in that place of humility that we need him to walk with us. So going back to the question, you know, why does David ask God to search him and know him? Because David, the man after God's heart, desired the presence of God. He wanted there to be nothing in his life that would take him away from the one who gives his life. So maybe if we can go to worship.
I am
Jeremiah 17, just before the verse that says the heart is deceitful, the Lord says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." It's saying that if I trust in God and walk in relationship with Him and we put our hope in Him, God will bring us to a place of sustained security and peace. It's also saying that if we draw strength from God, we can be fruitful. Fruitful in holiness in all good works. What we gain from inviting God to search us, our heart, is peace and fruit of the Spirit. Is there an area of our life that is hard to lay down and hard to let go? Maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's anger, maybe it's our insecurity. Whatever it may be, is there an area that's hard to trust God with? Or hard to even admit that we don't trust God fully with? Let's invite the Holy Spirit, just as David has done. Ask God, tell God, "Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So let's just spend a moment reflecting and asking God to reveal to us what's in our heart. Confess that we are imperfect and that we need you, Lord. We thank you that you know us. You made us fearfully and wonderfully, even from the mother's womb. You know our every thought. You know everything there is to know about us. And Lord, we just want to open our hearts to you to reveal to us where our heart is not aligned to yours. Maybe we're so used to thinking our way that we're not even aware when we're doing something that's not pleasing to you. Or maybe we've gotten so good at justifying why or how we feel or how we act is good, it's fine, that we've forgotten to come before you and to ask you if we're in the right with you. Maybe we're doing the right things but with the wrong heart, with the wrong motivation. Maybe we want to do good, but we're struggling. Maybe we're so convinced that we're doing right, but you're trying to tell us that maybe that's not the way you would want us to approach it. Whatever it may be, Lord God, we just want to invite you to just search our heart and make it known to us, Lord God, where there is a place where we're misaligned. We're not in the right with you, Lord. Where our heart is not pleasing to you, Lord God. Because our desire, Lord, is that we want to walk in intimacy with you. We want to be in relationship with you, Lord. And we want there to be nothing hidden in us, Lord God, that would take us away from your love and your presence, Lord. So God, every day, Lord, help us to take our thoughts captive and to just come before you and ask you to search us and to know us and to make it known to us, Lord God, so that we can walk in alignment with you, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord God, that we have a loving God who loves us and who knows us and who wants to walk in relationship with us. We're so in awe of your love, Lord, and your grace. So thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, pray. Let's lift up our community. So we'll lift up those amongst our family and their friends who have cancer. It's a long battle and journey, so just pray. Lift up the caretakers of these friends and family as well, that they'll draw strength and peace from God as well, and that God's presence will be with the ones who are going through various treatments, and that God will use the hands of the doctor to bring healing to them and to just conquer cancer. So let's lift them up. Let's also lift up those in our community who are ill and who also need God's salvation, that the Holy Spirit would come and hover over them and speak truth to them, and that they'll come to know him, and that God would also heal them of their illness. So let's lift them up. Let's lift up those among our friends and family who are also ill, that God's hand will be with them and they'll comfort them in their pain and that bring healing. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters in our community who are looking for a job right now, that God will bring divine connections to people, to them, so that they can be connected to the right workplace, that God's favor will be with them and that God will lead them to the right place where God wants them to be. So let's lift them up. Thank you. Let's lift up our city, Hong Kong. Our city's gone through a lot in the last couple years. Let's lift up our government and just the people in our city, and for all the various ministries and mission organizations that we work with. And for, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress, that our heart would really align with God's and we would feel what God feels for our city, and that we would intercede on behalf of our city. Let's lift up our city of Hong Kong. I also feel led to just pray for the families who, with just the travel restrictions, there are a lot of people in Hong Kong who haven't seen their families overseas in a long time. So just pray for, God's peace over them. And just despite them being physically apart, that they would trust God to take care of their families, and that they would also, that God would also comfort and bring peace to them. Let's lift up our staff. Actually, the SP staff is on a retreat in New Territories today and I think until tomorrow. So let's pray that, they have a good time of bonding with God and bonding with each other, that, they'll just really be able to love on each other and to receive God's ministry for them and each other. So let's lift up our staff and the retreat. Let's lift up our hospitality team, the welcoming team led by Pastor Andrew, and the barista ministry led by Caleb, and logistics led by Tim. Let's lift up our worship team, the sound team, and the AV teams led by Pastor Nate and Pastor Kenny, and the team, and all the members that serve within these ministries. Let's pray for pregnant ladies amongst our members, that, God would really watch over both the mother and the baby, protect their bodies, and just give them strength to bring to full term and to be able to deliver the baby in full health. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight. It's the last week of the house church for the season. So, they'll really enjoy their company before they go on break. That the Lord and His presence will show up and minister to them. That they'll really, support and love on one another, and that they'll be ministered to by God. Just cover them. Lord, we just want to lift up all of our prayers to you, Lord God, that you would hear these prayers and, bring healing and restoration to our body, Lord, and that you would just really bless and anoint the various ministries and every person who is serving in our body, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that staff would have a good time at the retreat and just really come. It'll be a time of renewal, time of refreshing, Lord God, and that your presence will be with them and that they'll each just really experience you in a mighty way, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your reminder that you want us to walk with you, Lord, and that you want to reveal to you what you think about us, what you want of us. So we just want to open our hearts and that our hearts will not be closed to you, Lord Jesus, but be open to you and open to how you're ministering to us, Lord God. Because you're inviting us to trust in you, Lord. And you say, the blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. So we confess that we need you and we need your help, Lord. As we go through our day today, Lord God, I pray that you just constantly remind us, Lord, to keep our hearts in check, to invite you, to help us think and help us to process things. So we thank you that we have your presence, Lord, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.